last glory days of baseball. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
Good morning. I'm Len Iaquinta, and this is the inaugural edition of Civic Affairs. We're not talking politics on this program. We're focusing on civics, how government works, why you should get involved, and ways you could begin a career in politics and government service. Mm-hmm. This program will air regularly on the third Saturday of each month. My guest for today's premiere of Civic Affairs is the Honorable Peter Barca. Barca is a politician from Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was the 14th Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. He was a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District in 2024, losing to incumbent Brian Stile. Barca previously represented this district during the 103rd Congress, 93 through 95. Peter also served 9 terms in the Wisconsin State Assembly. He was elected Democratic floor leader from 2011 through 2017. Between his discontinuous stints in the Assembly, he also served as the Midwest Regional Administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration during the presidency of Bill Clinton. Peter, good morning. Thank you for being our first guest on this new program on WGTD, Civic Affairs.
Well, I'm honored to be the first guest here, and what a wonderful topic for discussion. And I can't think of any topic probably more important right now. With the kind of polarization, divisiveness that exists, it seems like it's just absolutely vitally important that we help people to distill why, you know, civic engagement is so important for the health of a community and so important really for the future of our community and our nation.
And it's important to learn how to become involved, too. I don't know that civics is taught the way it was when I was in eighth grade. Maxine Moorman had us leave the class with a 3-ring binder of every step to be engaged as a speaker at a board meeting at the county board or the city council or at the school board, all the way up to how to become elected president of the United States.
Wonderful.
But I don't think people really learn that so much today. And one of the purposes of this program is to help people understand how the process works and why government is important. Mm-hmm. Peter, it was quite some time ago that you started your first campaign. And you've had a remarkable career of public service, and I'm old enough to have watched every bit of it. How did you get started, and why?
Well, I became started because I was involved in my community. As a matter of fact, I directed a camp for kids with disabilities. It was something my favorite job of all time because we had kids walk for the first time, talk for the first time. It was a very exciting place to be, and we received tremendous support from a lot of community-based organizations. Going back to the Kenosha Achievement Center, the Kenosha County was involved. We got grants from various organizations like the ARC and United Cerebral Palsy. And so naturally that got me involved just to get started. And then, in my career, I started my career in the education field, and I had been the leader of a special day treatment center for emotionally disturbed kids. And so I became involved. I was the mayor who put me on the legislative committee. So that was something I found very near and dear to my heart. Joe Andrea, who was my predecessor in the legislature, I was on his campaign committee. I got involved with the United Way to raise money from small businesses. Both of my parents owned small businesses. And I was involved in labor with the legendary Tenuta sisters, Kay and Virginia Tenuta, and my cousin Iris Hellman were very involved, and they got me involved. So I was on the FL-CIO and got involved in my political party here locally. So it was almost like a natural extension when the job opened up. Joe Andrea suggested, you ought to consider running for my position because I'm running for state senate. And so I took the plunge back in 1984, which seems like 2 lifetimes ago, and was elected my first try, which was exciting, and served for, I was in my 5th term when I ran for Congress and went off to Congress, and as you indicated, I joined the Clinton administration and then went back in the private sector for a period of time running a company and then came back in the legislature and just left Governor Evers' cabinet last year after 5 1/4 years there as Secretary of Revenue. And So I had a long, very vibrant and exciting career doing things that I care deeply about. And, it's a great way to make a contribution.
So you started in the most modest possible way by being engaged in a program to help others.
That's right. Very much so. And, you know, of course, we desperately need people to be involved helping others. Reaching for rainbows at the Great Mahone Foundation is coming up this week. I think of things like that. And I think of I met with Lydia Spotswood from the Southport Park Association just earlier this morning, talking about, you know, the improvements to Southport Beach House and the park area, the wonderful work that they're doing. And so I think it comes naturally to just want to contribute in whatever way you can to your community. And we need people to have that kind of involvement, engagement. And I would just encourage citizens and young people to sign up and join, be a member of a local organization, find ways to develop your leadership skills. I mean, there's actually more opportunities than ever before, I think, these days. I think of my daughter was involved in the county board. They developed like a youth program to have youths involved. My son was very active in DECA as a, you know, state vice president and a local leader here. And you know, you think of everything from Farm Bureau, where kids can learn to be in the 4-H and things of that sort, to, you know, all the various community organizations like the one we just talked about. So we need to encourage people to be involved.
It's okay to complain. It's even better to solve the problems.
Absolutely. In fact, you probably shouldn't complain if you're not willing to help try and solve those problems.
Now, I wonder, as you look back over your career at so many different levels of government, do you see barriers today that maybe are a little tougher for people to enter than they were in the early 80s, say? Or is it just a matter of personal motivation? But are there things that we as a group, we as a society can do to encourage more people to get involved, Peter?
No, I think really it's probably easier than ever, just because I think there's so many new opportunities that are out there. I think like the Mayor's Youth Commission, I know Mayor Antramian was very involved in developing that. Mayor Bigdala has continued it.
Racine has similar programs too.
Yes, they do.
Very vibrant.
Oh, very much so. Racine has, a wide range of civic organizations that everything from like the, you know, Root Pike River Association. I still help out with their annual cleanups and things of that sort. And there's just so many opportunities. I really think that there's actually more opportunities now than there ever were, because I think these community organizations desperately need people to be involved.
As you think now about your many kinds of government service, I wonder if you would share with us the nuts and bolts. How do you go about becoming a candidate? What is that involved? That's just a mysterious black box to mm-hmm. most of us.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it really is not that difficult. You know, you can run for city council or county board or school board or some of the local groups that you can run for, a town board if you live in a township, or village board if you're in like the Village of Summers or Mount Pleasant. Or, you know, you only have to go out and get signatures from some of your neighbors. And I think you need about 100 signatures of people. I think it might only be 20, actually, for some of these boards. People that say they want to see your name on the ballot. And then you put together a flyer to explain why you're running, what your background is, and why you think you can make a difference. And you can go out and knock on doors and go to community festivals, introduce yourself. And so it really is not, it's not that difficult at all. And of course, there's always organizations that are so involved, from the political parties to like labor organizations, to your chamber of commerces, to youth groups that, you know, will help you.
So why do people have to go out and collect signatures? What's that all about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it's for good reason, really, because it's to show that, you know, you're not just someone that's going to make a half-hearted effort to make a difference. You're showing that you're willing to go and talk to people in your community and ask them to sign. And really, it's part of what I think is sort of the humility side, too, because you have to ask other people, will you please give me a chance by signing this paper so I can have my name on the ballot?
And when I go to vote, I don't want frivolous names on the ballot.
Well, that's
people
just,
put their name on there just because they want to see it.
Right, right. I think that's true. I mean, we do still get some like that occasionally, but not as many as you would if you didn't have just the – and it's the most minor threshold in the world. What does it take to get 20 people. If you go to the, you know, to one of the two markets that we have on Saturday mornings, you probably get all the signatures you need there.
Now, when you ran for the state assembly, or if you were running for the state assembly today, what would that be like?
Well, that's a little bit harder in the sense that to be successful, you need to generally have a pretty broad swath of the community that, you know, believes in you and will support you. Now, I was lucky enough that was the first level I participated in. Usually people do start more at city council or school board or county board, but people can do it, no question about it.
Did you have to collect signatures for that?
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. You need 400 signatures for that, I believe it is. And maybe it's only 200, but you always want to get more in case you make a mistake or somebody outside your district signs it.
And those petitions of signatures get audited very carefully.
They do, as a matter of fact. And usually, because when you run for a local office, you run in a nonpartisan basis. You don't have to be a Democrat or Republican. You don't have to identify as either one. For assembly or, you know, for higher type office, they're partisan basis. So you have to have either Democratic Party, Republican Party. It could be the Libertarian Party, the Green Party. You have to have, you know, or you can even sign up as an independent. But as a consequence, some people are a little more reluctant to make that plunge. But you do need to identify with the party if you're going to run for state legislature or Congress or things at that level.
Now, if you were giving advice to a class of high school sophomores,
right,
and they wanted to know what are the mental and personal characteristics that are foundational to success in a career of politics and government service. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to use those terms together, politics,
sure,
and government service, because I hope that everyone involved in politics is interested in the concept of service. What would you tell, what academically, professionally, what, just in terms of average skills that the average person would have, what is the kind of personality that you would look for to be successful?
Well, generally you want someone that's a little bit more on the outgoing side, that's willing to talk to people and that, you know, is willing to feel comfortable to go to a labor union meeting or chamber of commerce or many of the different kinds of community-based organizations and explain why you're running. And hopefully you're running because you do want to make a difference, because you do see some areas where you could make an improvement based on your range of skills and your background and your professional or, you know, occupational associations that you've been involved in. The best candidates are usually people who have some type of a career, whether it's a teacher, nurse, plumber, business owner, that they, you know, have learned something and they've at least have an active career and they know people. And generally, it's better if they have at least some leadership skills, if they've been involved in some organization or another and helped advance that organization. They're usually the best candidates.
Honing those leadership skills starting in junior high school even, or middle school, is really important then.
It really does help. There's no question, though. I would never discourage somebody that maybe never was involved before at, let's say, student government or, you know, captain of their sports team or anything. I mean, you don't have to have that background. But generally, I would say that, you know, before you go put your name on the ballot, I would say at least be involved in some civic organization. You know, the mayor, county executive, they appoint people to commissions. We have a harbor commission. We have an airport commission. We have police and fire commission. We have all these different boards that, you know, you could be appointed to. And you could approach your city council member, your county board member, and say, hey, I'd really like to serve in some capacity. And those are usually the best people that they've given something to their community, and because they care about some element of the community that they want to make a difference.
So developing some rudimentary, at least, public speaking skills is also important, as I listen to you, Mr. Barca. And the way I would suggest that people would do that would be just by getting up in front of people in their groups, wherever it is,
right,
and getting used to the idea of talking to people in groups larger than your friends in your living room. Right.
Right. Well, there's no question.
It's not easy for everybody to do that, but I have certainly learned. I was pretty shy when I was a kid, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's practice, eh?
Right. It's like anything. You know, practice develops your skills and makes you stronger at it. And there's so many opportunities, right, to whether it's being involved in your professional or business association, whether it's all the myriad of things that we've talked about before. But I joined Toastmasters. I had a good friend, Tim Fulton, who was active in the organization, who signed me up to join the group, and I certainly improved my skills through that given organization. But whether you're a member of the Rotary, the Kiwanis, or any organization in between, you can certainly develop your skills that way as well.
And for the youngest listeners, almost every community in our listening area has some sort of junior board where youth are given a budget and a charge to make your community better, and then they get support as needed from others to make those things happen. And I think that that's probably a great training ground, don't you think?
Oh, no question. I mean, certainly for young people, I would encourage them, as you said, as young as junior high or certainly high school, to join the student council, be involved in the Key Club, or, be on your journalism board to develop your yearbook or your student newspaper, and if you're in sports, see if you can't become the captain of your team. I was a gymnast in high school and college, and that was an important part of my development, too.
And in faith-based organizations, there are multiple opportunities to get involved as well. And all of those are good ways to develop one's leadership skills and one's comfort in speaking to other people about your values and beliefs.
Right.
And motivating them to support you to play a role in government in a formal way as a part of an elected office.
Well, here we are at GTD, at Gateway Technical College. They offer a wide array of classes, so anybody can take a class, and usually there's opportunities to speak in your class as well. But you could take classes specifically about leadership. You can take classes about developing an organization. There's so many opportunities. That's one thing I think America is rich in, is opportunities to participate and learn
now,
and grow.
In your career, you've had plenty of opportunity, Peter Barca, to listen to your constituents and watch them try to be engaged with government. I can't think of anyone better to give advice. If someone listening today wants to get involved in their government and has never even been to a city council or school board meeting, but has a position on an issue that's really important to them and their family, How should they do that?
Mm-hmm.
What's a good intervention to what's a good thing to do if you want to speak to a politician one-on-one, write to them, call them on the phone, go to a board meeting of the city in Racine or Walworth, mm-hmm, or wherever you are? What makes a good case,
mm-hmm,
if I want to get engaged and influence government just as an ordinary citizen?
Right. Well, first of all, they work for you. I mean, that's the number one thing, is to remember that they have to come to you, so you'll vote for them so that they can have their office. So, the best of the best are usually consider their role to be public servants. And so whatever the issue is, whether you want to have a stop sign put in your neighborhood, you can, call your city council member and say, I'd like to talk to you about this. And they generally, many of them have town hall meetings, most of them, at least on a state and federal level. And you can go to those meetings, you can speak up there. Most of them have office hours, but, their numbers are published. You can call their office and say, hey, I'd like to talk to Representative Tip McGuire, for instance. And I want to tell him about some project that I have to try and improve the Pike River, for instance, something that was always near and dear to my heart. Practice that. Be an active citizen. Expect your those that you voted for to go to bat for you and to look for issues that will make our community stronger and make your organizations you might be a part of, become developed and improve.
So one should, I suppose, marshal their facts and make a respectful claim. And also, I think emphasizing that you're a constituent is probably a much more effective case than anything else, because you're going to be even more attentive to someone who's a constituent and can vote for or against you in the future.
Right, right.
So if you're a constituent of that individual, you might want to lead with that, eh?
Well, no question. And, everybody has a city council member, school board, county board member. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story, Len. I remember early in my career in the legislature, I would have people from the city call, and they would be calling about a county issue. And I'd say, oh, well, you really need to call your county board member. Here's County Board Dick Kessler's number, for instance, thinking back to where I lived, or Chuck Huck's number. And they would say, well, no, Peter, I don't live in the county. I live in the city. And I would say, well, you know what? The city is in the county. You have both a city council member and a county board member. It would be so funny. People would argue, no, no, I live in the city. I don't have a county board member. So that's why shows like this are important, to help educate people. But clearly, you should call the person that represents you. You call, let's say, an alderman on the south side and you live on the north side. They'll probably listen. I would hope they would. But if you call your city council member or county board member that you vote for, they're going to be more attentive generally. And your other point was even more important, and that is be knowledgeable. I mean, don't just call off the cuff. You know, look into it a little bit. Talk to your neighbors. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Today, with AI and Google and things like that, it's easier than ever to do just a little bit of research. You can do it in 15 minutes before you make the call.
If you were giving a motivational speech, what would you tell people in terms of why it's important to you and your family, your given family or your created family? Why take the trouble to get involved, Peter?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is so important because the people who you elect are making decisions about your future, about your children's future, those people you love, whether it's, someone you live with, a cousin, a brother, whoever it might be. And, and we see today where people's rights are at stake at times. And so now more than ever, it's so important. I mean, things like, let's say, protecting Medicare or Medicaid, which are, potentially on the chopping block. So that could affect your next door neighbor or somebody you dearly love. And so by your speaking out and making calls and being involved in organizations that protect those things that you hold near and dear, whether it's the environment, perhaps protecting clean air or clean water, or take the measles, it's a subject that's coming up now, things that are health pandemics and you're worried about. I have two grandchildren. I worry deeply that they're going to get it in their daycare centers or their schools. So, so speaking up now is more important than ever.
People talk a lot about national politics, national politics is, of course, important. And our news media that we're surrounded with, of course, cover those because they apply to everyone.
Right.
But we're probably much more deeply affected by the school board, the city council, mm-hmm. and the county board, and the state assembly and state senate, mm-hmm. than we are by most things that go on out of D.C. I wonder if you would just speak a little bit about the importance of engagement at that level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it really is vital at every level, quite frankly, because you are affected by decisions made by from everything from your school board, like you said, the county board, your legislature, your federal government. Every one of them really count. And it might be more obvious to you in your community that you live in because, perhaps there's parks that aren't being taken care of properly, or perhaps you're affected because garbage isn't being picked up on days it's supposed to be, which is rare in Kenosha Racine, where we've got great quality governments. What happens at a local level certainly is just as important to your day-to-day life, and it's good to be involved in each of those levels. And I can't imagine anybody that doesn't have some topic that is near and dear to their heart because of, people that they love and people that they care about.
Now, one shouldn't be afraid to get involved or to speak up because one doesn't have a solution for an issue or a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right? I mean,
well,
it's
sure.
Okay, it's okay to point out a problem and document it and then not feel that you have to have the solution.
Right, right. Of course, that's true. I mean, it's always good if you have some notion of a solution. And generally, some of the things are obvious, but sometimes they're not. But if it's, that traffic's going too fast down your road, you may not know that you could put up stop signs or have police patrol it, or there could be solutions you're not aware of that might be even more effective than that comes immediately to mind. But clearly if there's things that concern you, whatever that may be, you certainly can make the call and say, look, I really feel like, these parks aren't being properly taken care of. I know that that I just heard last couple of days from a couple people that brought up about, you know, that these older kids go in parks and they go racing around, like in the Dream Playground, for instance, I heard. And so younger, more vulnerable, or children with disabilities can actually be adversely affected by that. So you could call and just say, hey, my 7-year-old plays in this park and there's big kids that have run them over a couple times. And what can we do about it?
Now, government isn't all just about elected politicians. Government is about people who are cabinet members, people who are department secretaries, and all of the offices from the bottom up that support those government departments. And these are people, I've met dozens and dozens of them. Some of them have been my closest personal friends. They're all hardworking, every one of them. They're not lazy, and they're very, very committed. You've been in that role, too.
Right.
So I wonder if you just speak a little bit about the joys and the rigors and how one gets involved in that and why it's important to take those lower-paying jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is so important. I mean, the people that work at every level of government do just vitally important roles. I mean, you think of, like, emergency government. Right now there's a debate, should we still have a national FEMA, for instance, which is the Federal Emergency Management, to work against floods or hurricanes or bioterrorism, things of that sort. I was on the National Advisory Committee. President Obama appointed me to that for 3 years, and I certainly think it would be a mistake to replace that. But there's also people at a local level that serve at county emergency government. And so when you have a huge flood that could affect your home, having quality people that actually care, that are going to answer that phone, they're going to be worried about whether or not we have sandbags protecting your home or we have personnel that are go out and respond to that emergency, makes a huge difference. And sometimes that's as important as the elected officials, because they're the ones that do the day-to-day work. And like I said, that can be at a local level, it can be at a state level. We have state emergency government or a federal level.
Could being in a low-level governmental job like that be also a launching pad for oneself into a career in politics? Do you ever see that happen?
Oh, certainly. You know, there's no question. You know, teachers sometimes end up, retiring and running for school board, make a big difference occasionally. Or people that maybe, work in a given career, maybe a nurse, for instance, that works in the county health department, that recognizes, boy, we have some serious issues here. I'm going to run for Congress because I think we need to be changing things, to be more concerned about our public health, for instance. So it certainly can be. But really, any walk of life, no matter what you do, whether it's in the private, public sector, nonprofit sector, we all gain insights through the work that we do day after day and the colleagues and people that we work with, and we hear about their everyday challenges. And usually it's people that are more empathetic and caring and good listeners that hear these stories and say, you know, doggone it, I'm going to run for office and I'm going to make a difference because my friend here, Len Iaquinta, should not be subjected to that kind of difficulties in his life.
Well, Peter Barca, you've been an inspiration to many people with your many, many careers in government and politics. You're a great first guest for this program on WGTD 91.1 Public Radio. Through Civic Affairs, we hope to bring to light the ways that all citizens can get more engaged in their government, because the more engaged you get, the more satisfaction you're going to get. Isn't that right? So remember, every third Saturday of every month, I or another host will be here to talk about civic affairs and how you can be a part in making your government work even better and more successfully for you and your family. For Civic Affairs, this is Len Iaquinta, urging you, as always, to get informed and get involved. Good day.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center offers no-cost, unbiased Medicare workshops for those new to Medicare or who want to learn more. For more information, contact 262-605-6652. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, all Kenosha public libraries are collecting unwanted eyeglasses, hearing aids, and cell phones on behalf of the Kenosha Noon Lions. The club will repurpose eyeglass parts, receive credit for the purchase of new hearing aids, and will get money for cell phone parts. from the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar. It's called Dine and Donate for Degrees. The Mahone Foundation has lined up restaurants in May and June that have agreed to donate part of their proceeds to scholarships. For the calendar, go to the Mahone Foundation Facebook page.
This is WGTD.